Morning, Faith Fellowship Church. Good morning to all of you who are watching this on Facebook. This will be our second to last service at this church. It is shutting down. Roger's going to retire next Sunday, October 31st, is the last service. We invite you all out. We would like to have a packed house to celebrate the 20 years we've had here and to wish Roger the best wishes in his retirement. He's asked me to fill in. He is not here today. I wanted to talk today about trust. That's something I am in the midst of and something I can definitely relate to. So I want to start off going into 1 Thessalonians when Paul, in chapter 3, is addressing the church and when he says, "Brethren, for this reason, in spite of all your stress and crushing difficulties, we have been filled with comfort and cheer about you because of your faith, the leaning of your whole personality on God in complete trust and confidence." Complete trust and confidence. I wonder how many of us really have that, because there are so many distractions in this world. Television advertisements, being plugged into our electronics. I know I definitely challenge, I am challenged with doing that, but the more intentional I can be with that, the closer I feel to God, and I do have more peace in that sense. Faith in our God provides cheer and comfort, which obviously comes from Him, especially in times of stress and challenges that are out of our control. And for those of us who love Jesus and have submitted and surrendered our lives, I think it's just a matter of time in faith where we come to the realization that we have no control over anything, if we're being honest with ourselves. Our finances, our employment, our reliability of our vehicle, our relationships, our marriage, it really is out of our control. And once we can come to that conclusion and learn to give everything fully and completely to God, that's when we have that trust, that's when we have that peace. Faith is what gives us the trust to know God is with us and for us in all circumstances. Before Christ ascended, he told his disciples he was leaving something better than him behind, the Holy Spirit. So he is in us, not just in us, he is within us and he is for us. Trust is believing without seeing. I challenge myself with that. It's not always easy to remember that. I get hyper-focused on my own circumstances. I start playing lowercase g God, and hey, I start taking that control back. And hopefully get to that point as soon as possible, just give it back to God and let him do his blessings on me. Focusing on the present time and not concerning ourselves with what may or may not be waiting for us tomorrow. We don't know. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. The Bible teaches us, don't worry about tomorrow, or tomorrow has its own worries. And as we all know, God is already there. And I believe the second coming of Christ is very close. I think I will see it in my lifetime. I can't speak of any of you, but when that time does come, I don't certainly want to be in my own personal crisis trying to manipulate the situation, playing God, and believe I have any control. When Christ comes, I want to be in that place where I'm fully surrendered and have that gift and ability of trust in him. I would love to hear the words, as some of us would like to, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So what scriptures do you hold on to in the midst of troubling times? There's a few I'd like to look at today. The first one, actually, let me back up. I want to ask, this is a rhetorical question, just something to think about now or after you leave the church or go off of Facebook. For instance, what if you're a married couple that has been trying for a great length of time to have children, and it's just not happening? No matter how much money you spend, how many doctors, infertile, nothing seems to be working. It may be causing a longing that is unfulfilled, causing great heartache for being denied for something so long, and you can't understand why it hasn't materialized. Zechariah and Elizabeth were such a couple. They lived at a time in society where people around them measured God's love for you based on how many children you had. They were well up in age, they had no children, so you can imagine the kind of outcast they may have been experiencing. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, starting with verse 5, we read, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old." Now jumping down to verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Amen. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So, despite their circumstances, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they both held fast in trusting the Lord. Zechariah was a priest. Excuse me. Elizabeth was a priestess, I believe. They continued diligently to serve the Lord without hesitation, without gap in their faith, holding on to that one true desire that they wanted so desperately, and they were willing to wait. Even though their wish had not been met, as I said, they continued to serve. Either of them could easily given up on God, but instead they made that harder, more better decision to trust God, to wait patiently for his perfect timing to catch up to our finite timing. This story in the Bible is about remaining faithful to God and what it means to live by that faith. God loved them and wanted to bless them, very much so. It was that conviction that led to the blessing, their conviction of honoring and serving our God despite my circumstances, despite what I can see, despite my sometimes selfish needs. I'm talking about myself now, and being able to get past myself and really be open-minded and humble to what God wants to bless with me. In the book of Isaiah, we read about a man chosen to deliver a most overwhelming message to the Israelites. He didn't know how to process the intense vision that God had given him. As we read in chapter 21, Isaiah says, "My stomach sinks, my gut churns with pain. As a woman in labor retches and writhes, I can hardly bear the news. I cannot hear because I'm bent over with agony. I cannot see because I'm in a deep fog of depression." How do you handle bad news? Worst case scenario thinking, trying to take control over something you don't have control over? Do you become anxious? Do you begin to feel helpless or hopeless? In these particular times, prayer can be the most challenging. But it's also an opportunity to transform your prayer life by being honest and vulnerable with God, your Maker, your Alpha, your Omega. He already knows everything you feel. He knows everything you think. There's no reason to keep it from him because he already knows. But to have that childlike awe towards him and just be honest, that's what he wants. That's part of that personal relationship. And as I said, he already knows that you can't hide anything from him. In this case, Isaiah didn't hold back. As he says in chapter 49, starting with verse 3, he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, and you will bring me glory." Then Isaiah replied, "But my work seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose. Yet I leave it all in the Lord's hand. I trust God for my reward." Gosh, I wish I could have trust like that. I have a little bit of a mustard seed, but I would like it to grow. I would like it to expand. And I would like it to share with anybody who would like to listen to me. Isaiah was overwhelmed and stressed, and yet he was completely honest with God, believing that God's purpose was far higher and greater than his own vision. When we can be vulnerable, it'll unlock a deeper sense and level of intimacy. I'm ready to sign up. How about you guys? Next, we talk about the bleeding woman who had chronic bleeding for almost 12 years. This is in Mark chapter 5. She had been to many doctors, exhausted all opinions, exhausted all the money she had. It was a chronic illness, and in that culture, she was considered an outcast, considered unclean. But because of her faith and trust in Jesus, what did she do? She swallowed that pain, fear of rejection, being an outcast, and took a major risk based on trust. So begin in verse 37, Mark chapter 5, it's recorded. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. Wow. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" Of course he knew. That's just Jesus being Jesus. He finally found her in the crowd And she told him the whole truth. She was vulnerable. She was open. She was honest. And Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Can you imagine having that kind of suffering, any kind of illness or ailment, for a year or 6 months, let alone 12 years, and just to have that faith 100%? All I have to do is touch the fringe of his garment and I will be healed. That is just amazing. So her entire truth and honesty got her closer to Jesus. What are any of you keeping from God, whether here or on Facebook? Something from your childhood, something from yesterday, something you're thinking about doing that might be dishonest. What truth can you give him today? Because Jesus said the truth will set you free, and free indeed you are. God, Moses, and the Israelites. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Exodus, beginning in chapter 14, and I am going to skip around a little bit, so bear with me. Excuse me. So in verse 3, the Lord says, "Pharaoh will say of the Israelites, 'They are wandering aimlessly in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. God says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will be glorified and honored through him and all his army. And the Egyptians shall know and acknowledge that I am the Lord." Verse 9, "The Egyptians chased them with all the horses and war chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and they overtook them as they camped by the sea." Jumping down to verse 13, "Then Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Take your stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For those Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent and remain calm.'" You need do nothing. Just be still and know he is. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the sons of Israel to move forward.'" In this case, forward towards the sea, closer to what they thought was death. "And divide it, so that the sons of Israel may go through the middle of the sea on dry ground." Could you imagine being in that situation? You've got this entire well-armed army, horsemen, chariots, much more powerful than you are. And you've got a huge body of water behind you. And you hear Moses say, "We're going to walk through it." With his faith and trust in God, he raises his staff, the waters. I can't imagine that. I can barely picture that. I don't know how deep the Red Sea is. You've got 200-foot walls of water, and you're walking through it on dry land. And all this happened in a few seconds. Under what impossible situation do you find yourself in right now? Maybe it's your marriage, your finances, employment, illness, loss of a loved one. It's in these times God will show us how powerful he really is. It all comes down to that trust, patience, perseverance, endurance. When we feel like there's absolutely nowhere to turn, God can work at his best. And he shows up at sometimes the most unexpected times. And that's why I love him so much. He's just so powerful in his ways. Lastly, and quickly, I wanted to discuss David. He was a king of Israel, a hero for defeating Goliath. He led countless successful military campaigns. He was head of military operations, easy for me to say, and even married a king's daughter. It seemed he had everything going for him until a jealous king made him flee and hide for 10-plus years from Saul. I can imagine David feeling like his dreams were shattered, his hopes destroyed, and that God no longer had a plan for his life. But David remembered his loving God, and that his life was still in his hands, no matter his perceived circumstances. Circumstances may change, but our destiny and God's plan will not. It cannot. It does not, if we allow God to work in our lives. It is all controlled, allowed, and determined by our Father above. What a relief that is for me. But how easily can I forget it sometimes? How easily can you forget that sometimes, getting caught up in our own circumstances? Excuse me. The very first verse I memorized was Proverbs 3, 5, 6. This was back in 2005 when I first began my relationship with Christ. And it says, "Trust the Lord your God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." 16 years later, I still don't have that mastered. I still mess up. I still fall short. I still take control. I still find myself at times begging out for understanding, which is direct violation of my favorite verse. It occurred to me, Oftentimes we hear in church testimonies of people who get up and share their heart about where they were a year ago, 5 years ago, and how God has changed them and how they are so much better now. And it occurred to me that not very often do you hear someone currently in that storm giving their testimony. If you haven't, you're about to, because that's what I want to do next. My gosh, excuse me. As I said, I've believed in God since I was 15 years old. I was in a situation where I was afraid for my well-being, and because of my best childhood friend's mom and meeting at her house every Wednesday night, I learned about God, the truth of it. No idea who Jesus was, didn't know what that relationship was like, but I said the sinner's prayer when I was 15, and I went from feeling completely hopeless and helpless. I was crying, tears of pain, tears of fear, and in a nanosecond, it went from tears of joy and peace, and I felt that presence for the first time. Unfortunately, I didn't continue that walk. I didn't build that relationship until my first divorce in 2005, where I started going to church for the first time in my life, and it was a brand new experience. The first time I walked into a lobby of a church, it was like an episode of The Brady Bunch or Leave It to Beaver. I couldn't process it, you know, husbands and wives smiling, holding hands, loving on each other, children laughing and having fun. Excuse me. That is not the childhood I had. So I began this relationship with Christ in 2005 during my first divorce. And like I've touched on many things today, I say the words that I trust him. I know he's in control, but I've taken it back so many times, made my own choices time and time again. In the last 8 months, I have gone through a job loss. I've gone through a divorce again. That was finalized this last July. Excuse me. And as of 5 p.m. yesterday, I was evicted from my place of residence. And this all happened because I have problems with addictions. Unfortunately, with my second marriage, I brought alcohol and pornography into the relationship. And I just leaked that energy that I should have been giving to my beautiful wife, to my own selfish desires, my own sinful nature. It's not something I'm proud of, but it's the cycle that I've been stuck in. And despite everything that I have quote-unquote lost, because everything is from God, through God, for God, excuse me, despite everything that I have lost, I have peace. I am in a great place because God is doing wondrous things in my life. I believe that he's stripping away all of this to really get to the core of my hurt, to build me back up for his purpose. Because how I was living my life just a few months ago, it's not godly. It's not godly. It is very selfish. This transition, especially divorce, has been incredibly hard for me. I still have feelings for her. The hardest thing right now is there is no relationship whatsoever. She does not want to talk. That breaks my heart. I often cry. It's only been finalized for a little under 4 months. But I look forward to the day when I can see her. Maybe this other side of life, maybe in heaven, where I can see that smile and that sparkle in her eye again. Perhaps give her a hug. I don't know what it's going to be like. And just to say again how sorry I am and how much I love you. And thank you, Steve. If I have to wait, thank you, brother. If I have to wait until that time, Christ's second coming, then it'll be worth it. She's worth it. Again, I'm really struggling with trying to have control over my own life, which I don't. Been so many changes. God has blessed me with a full-time job. Make decent money, especially for this part of Oklahoma. I'm staying with a very gracious friend of mine while I get myself back on my feet, save some money, and get my own place. I have a circle of friends in this church. Unfortunately, the church is closing, but the friends are here. They've been nothing but supportive. I'm working with a sponsor in AA, and I know it's about anonymity, but I don't care about that. I don't care what people think about me. I care what God thinks about me, and I'm up here. If anyone is struggling, be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Tell someone you love. Tell someone you trust. He will intervene. He will intercede. He will change your life. You will never, ever feel the same again. You don't need to live in fear. You don't need to live in shame. None of that is from God. He is for you. He is with you. He is within you. And he loves you so tenderly. You just have to learn to trust. As I said, my favorite verse, I'm still learning to do that. I'm excited about what's coming tomorrow because I know God has something great for me. I no longer want to isolate, feel depressed, wallow in my own self-pity. I want to move forward with Christ. He's given me the strength to do that. My reason for being honest this morning is for God. I'm not playing a victim. I'm not. It's not about sharing my sob story. It's not about being a martyr. It's about being honest. I can do it with God. I can do it with my church family. So for those of you on Facebook who may be listening to this and don't know Christ and you want to make that decision, I would like you to repeat after me the sinner's prayer as we close this service for today. Now, this is no magic potion. There's no pill. It comes from honesty and earnesty from your heart. To be sincere, God will hear you. And if you sincerely want to make this lifelong commitment to Christ or recommit yourself to Christ, he is listening. He does not have the ability not to hear. He will not ignore you. It may not happen as you want it in your own timeline, but it will happen. I'm 48. I'm still learning. So it's never, ever too late. So if you'd like to accept Christ in your life, please repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer, asking for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son, that he died on the cross that I might be forgiven and have eternal life. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask you right now to come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and will worship you all the days of my life. Because your word is truth, I confess with my mouth that I am born again and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So for those of you who made that decision right now, I encourage you to get involved in a church, obviously, a support group. I don't know where you are in the country, where you are in the world, but it's very important to maintain this. If you have made that decision, it's probably the biggest decision you can ever make in your life. And I know from personal experience, if you don't engage Christ like-minded people, you may wander in the desert like I have for the past 48 years. I'm indirectly avoiding God at all costs, but he's everywhere. He loves you. He wants that relationship with you. He wants that intimacy with you. And as I said, everything I think I've lost, I've gained so much more. I really haven't lost anything. God is still sitting on the throne, and he's still my biggest cheerleader. So get involved in a church. Get into a small group. Find someone you can talk to and learn more about Christ. It is the most amazing thing you'll ever experience. I thank you all for coming. It's a full house here. You can't see it, but it's a full house, standing room only. And thank you guys for listening on Facebook. And please tune in. Roger will be live next Sunday, starting at 11 o'clock, I believe, for his final service after 20 years. So I love you. God loves you. Tell someone you know you love them. Give them a big hug and a kiss for me. Okay.